Why are smart businesses graduating to NetSuite by Oracle? Because NetSuite eliminates the expense of multiple business systems by consolidating your operations together into one. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. NetSuite reduces IT costs because it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost and headaches of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. Bringing all your major business processes into one platform improves efficiency, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. You'll see how you'll profit with NetSuite too. And now, by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Just go to netsuite.com/podcast25 for more information. That's netsuite.com/podcast25.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.
Welcome to episode 48 of Hashtag No Filter. Today's episode is with the wonderful, wonderful Hitha Pallapu. And she is just, I feel like she's maybe the most brilliant person I know. It's possible that I just named her that. She is not only so smart, so she is CEO of Ro Pharmaceuticals. She's also an angel investor in, I believe she said 12 companies maybe. And she's also an advisor in some of those. Also, aside from that, her most important job, she's a mother of two, and she just had her second baby boy not even 3 months ago. She has her husband, and she does this incredible Instagram story series called Five Smart Reads every day. And she used to have a website actually called Hitha on the Go. And she also wrote a book. She's done a million things. I mean, this intro could be 10 minutes long just talking about all the things she does. I told her, you wear like 17 hats, and that's not an exaggeration. But it was just such a fun conversation. So insightful. You're going to want to like take notes during it, because we talked a lot about organization and how Hitha keeps her life organized. She's also probably one of the most organized people I know. And if you actually go on Hitha on the Go and look at her old articles, she has tips and tricks and how she keeps her planner organized and her days organized and her family organized. And she's just beyond organized, as well as packing. Her book it's called How to Pack. And she also has great tips for how to pack. And she just is like full of great information. So she's just wonderful. And so we talked a lot about organization, a lot about, you know, if you're looking to start investing, what to do. We talked a lot about, you know, where she gets her five smart reads from every day. We talked about, you know, how she literally wears these 17 hats, or as she says, headbands, and how she does it all, you know, between kids and husband, you know, family life, personal life, as well as business life and all these companies she invests in. We talked about it all. And it was just a great conversation. It was like, we didn't want it to end. In fact, we didn't want it to end so much that when we ended it, because I'm like, all right, we got to end this. We ended up going out for drinks after, and we continued chatting. And I just adore her. She keeps it real. She's awesome. And just, I love her. So this was the longest intro ever. So here you go. Enjoy. Here is episode 48 of Hashtag No Filter with Hitha Pallapu. Hello, Hitha. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We're drinking our rosé with Spring Angel. I'm so happy you're here. Thank you for coming.
I'm so happy to be here. And thank you for accommodating my hype maintenance, wine request.
Please. Oh my, I'm like, I'm with you. The only rosés I drink, we're kind of in the same boat. I probably should have gotten two bottles though.
Well, always Seamless, right?
You know, I've never ordered wine through Seamless. Drizzly. Have you done Drizzly?
I've done Postmates, and I haven't done Seamless, but I've done Amazon Prime as well, because they have a Whole Foods right by us.
Oh, and does it come like soon?
Yeah. That, Yeah.
Good to know. Fun facts. Okay. So before we get, well, we're getting into it right now, but before we get into all the questions, can you just give everyone a little background for those that don't know you? Kind of, and I know you wear like 18 hats and like everything you do and kind of how you got here today in a nutshell.
That's why I call myself a multi-hyphenate, mm-hmm. because I don't know how to describe myself without saying and about a million times. But my day job is an entrepreneur and investor. Mm-hmm. I co-founded a pharmaceutical company with my father, and I also angel invest mm-hmm. in and advise a lot of companies. We have over 10 in our portfolio right now, so
amazing.
Keeps me pretty busy.
Yep, I would think so.
At home, I'm a mommy to two. Mm-hmm. amazing and exhausting little boys. I have a husband who's mm-hmm. wonderful, but also he's like, sometimes it feels like he's my third son.
He's exhausting.
He's good. I got very lucky. And I also am very close with my parents. Like we cohabitate most of the time.
I love that.
So it really is, I set aside time to mm-hmm. spend with them because they're under my roof, but we know, you don't know how long you have with your parents at any given point in life.
No, it's amazing that you have them right there.
They're a priority to me.
And you've written a book.
I've written a book called How to Pack, Travel Smart for Any Trip.
Which we're going to be talking about because that's a major topic.
Excellent. And I'm also a diehard Philadelphia Eagles fan, so mm-hmm. that's what I'm doing every fall Sunday.
Amazing.
I'm eating Taco Bell whenever I have a bad day
Is that your, like, that is your holy grail? Like, that is your food of choice?
That's my food of
choice. Last meal on earth, that would be it.
It's Taco Bell and a bottle of champagne.
That's amazing. I love the high-low aspect going on there.
That was my birthday theme last year.
That's amazing.
I wore a gold sequin jumpsuit. I got like 200 burritos from Taco Bell and asked everybody to bring champagne.
Wait, that's a genius idea.
I need to repeat it.
Taco Bell should maybe sponsor you or something.
Taco Bell needs to sponsor my life.
Well, I feel like you get, because we're going to also talk about, you do these Q&A Fridays today. You're doing one, which I love. People have the best questions. You have the best answers. And people ask you a lot what your Taco Bell order is.
I know.
Like a hot topic.
I feel like I need to like put it on a feed post. I reshare it every time. But my Taco Bell order, for anyone who's wondering, is a number 3 crunchy with beans instead of meat, because I'm just not going to eat meat from Taco Bell.
Are you a vegetarian? Oh, no, you're not a vegetarian.
I'm a flexitarian.
Okay. So Taco Bell, we're not going to the meat route.
If you're going to eat meat, eat the good stuff.
Right. Okay. But people could eat meat at Taco Bell.
Totally,
it's probably
meat.
Lovely.
You know what? The spicy chicken burrito is quite delightful.
Really? Okay.
I have to be in a mood for it, but there are some days I am in the mood.
Okay.
So it's that number 3 crunchy.
Okay.
Beans instead of meat, and then usually a cheesy fiesta potatoes.
Okay. And do you have a Taco Bell near where you live? Like right on the street, hopefully?
Not right on the street, but across the park. It's in the Upper East Side. Okay. That has an A rating. I feel very comfortable ordering
there. They deliver a lot. Do they know you?
They probably should.
They might.
The Postmates guys are different every time, and I'm the woman who's going, please make sure they have beans instead of meat. Please bring me 800 fire sauce packets.
God, it's amazing. Okay. So she's very busy. You're very busy doing all of these things. Now, the first question I want to ask you is, how do you manage it all, or do you even believe in, can you manage it all? Like, how you talk a lot about having help, you outsource a lot. Mm-hmm. Talk about that if you can, because that, you do a lot.
I do have friends who are miracle workers mm-hmm. and do it all mostly themselves. And my hat's off to them, because my reality is a lot more privileged and I'm a lot luckier. I have a lot of help. So the list of things I do is much shorter compared to the list mm-hmm. of things I do not do. I don't do my laundry.
Right.
I don't grocery shop.
Right.
I order in our groceries. Right. We have an incredible housekeeper who does our laundry and cleans our home. We have a nanny for Rocky, the baby. And we have more like a coach or a friend to row, like someone younger who could run around with him, take him to activities and engage with a 4-year-old the way a 4-year-old needs to be engaged. We have, I use Uber or Lyft absolutely everywhere.
You utilize these things.
I utilize a lot of these services. Okay. And I'm lucky that I have the financial security. Mm-hmm. I have more money than I do time. So I do deploy my money wisely to save whatever little time I do have.
Right.
Obviously, it's different for everybody at different stages of lives, but that's what really works for me.
So do you think you couldn't do everything you're doing if you didn't have...
There's no way.
There's no way. Okay.
There's no way.
Like something would have to give. I mean, it just wouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so many hours in a day.
There's only so many hours in a day. And I'm really lucky for all the help I have.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's because of all that help that it seems like I am doing it all. But right. like, I don't want anyone to think that I'm cooking dinner every night.
Question a lot. Like, yeah. how do you do all this? Yeah. And you have help. And you're
help.
Happy to admit it. Yeah.
I don't do the dishes very often.
That's amazing. But you're grateful. That's amazing that you're able to be in a position where you don't have to do the dishes all the time.
And I recognize that this is not the norm. And I've both been lucky to be born into a certain level of privilege and then also work hard to maintain that level of privilege to not be able to do that. And, you know, it's my hope that I'm giving the team that works for me and supports me at home the same type of flexibility and what I need from my workplace and from my career. So if my housekeeper needs to bring her son, she brings her son, and he's a wonderful little boy and he plays with Ro. And
so you're great to work with and work for, it seems.
Oh, I hope so.
I'm sure you have to crack the whip sometimes somewhere. No. But okay, so now, so you recently had Rock. How old is Rocky now?
He's 2.5 months.
Oh, he's only 2.5 months.
He's a nugget.
Oh, he is. He's so cute. So you have Rocky and Ro, and they're 4 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it going from 1 to 2?
In some cases, it's easier than going from 0 to 1. And in some cases, it's like exponentially more work.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about it is that I know what to expect from babyhood. Mm-hmm. I also know how fleeting it is. So even in the moments of utter exhaustion or frustration or like, I just changed your diaper and then you peed all over me. I know
that happens, I imagine.
It happens a lot. I know how fleeting these moments are. The thing is, the most difficult part of this is, though, managing your time between two kids. Ro needs me a lot more than Rocky does because Rocky is not going to care who changed his diaper, who fed him a bottle, or who rocked him to sleep. But Ro will remember, I needed mommy and she wasn't there for me.
Because he can comprehend that.
He can comprehend it. He can communicate it too.
Yeah.
So I'm very cognizant of if somebody else can watch the baby when Ro is around, I have them do that.
That's great.
And he gets, this is a big transition for him.
Yeah.
He will remember being an only child before his brother arrived. And so I really want to honor that time that we had when it was just him and let him know that he's never, no one's ever replacing him and that I love him as much as I did, even more now, honestly, because I appreciate all his four-year-oldness again, I'm reminded of how fleeting it all is.
Right. So would that be your advice for someone going from 1 to 2, kind of like spend time with the older one? Is that your main, that's really the main thing? Because the baby doesn't really know anything, right?
Baby, like as long as the baby's fed, like the as long as he's like on the boob, like
we're good.
Or gets a bottle, he's fine.
So then going from, so did you always know you wanted kids? Did you know like your whole life or was
no.
there? Okay, was it a surprise when you first got pregnant or you knew at that point you wanted?
I mean, I guess when I was a kid, I was like, oh, of course I want to be a mom because that's all you're told, especially growing up in a South Asian household.
Mm-hmm.
It's motherhood is very much part of your identity as a South Asian woman, marriage and motherhood. Like it's almost indoctrinated in
you.
As I grew older and like post-college was working, traveling all the time, I was kind of chafed in my mindset of if I never have kids, that would be okay. Like I would have an awesome life. And if I did have kids, that would also be an awesome life. I was ambivalent about it.
Really?
And I think it really was my husband was like dead set on having kids.
Wanting them.
Wanting kids. And even to the point like being, I want to have two biological kids and then we could always adopt more.
Right.
But like you felt very strongly
about
that.
So that kind of, not pushed you, but mates, you were ambivalent about it.
I was ambivalent. So I was like, all right, let's try. And I mean, I got very lucky that I got pregnant very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And overall had good pregnancies.
That's
like
great.
I had the same exhaustion nausea that most women have in their first trimester. By the end, I'm over it. Like
every
pregnant
imagine.
Woman is.
But nothing like out of the ordinary.
Nothing
crazy.
Out of the ordinary. Okay. The babies were born healthy.
Amazing.
And I recovered well.
That's
and
great.
I'm lucky to have had two really smooth pregnancies and deliveries. And I had my miscarriage too. And that was
you
heartbreaking.
Did before, when did?
Between Rocky and Ro.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, God. How soon after? Like, how old was Ro, I guess?
Ro was 2.5.
Oh, gosh. Was that awful? I mean,
it was awful.
Awful.
It's like one of the worst moments of your life.
Oh, my God. But now you have amazing Rocky.
Rocky.
So did you always know you wanted two, though? Like, that was once you had one, you were like, I definitely want another. Or did it come later?
It came later. Yeah. I kind of observed that Ro would benefit having a sibling because the kid just has so much energy. He wants to engage so badly. And you only have so much energy as a parent.
I can only imagine.
That I was like, you know what? What a gift to give a kid. Really, I'm an only child and I always wish I had a sibling.
Yeah.
And that was something I felt very strongly to give my kids.
So someone either pregnant right now or getting pregnant, about to be pregnant, whatever the case may be, what would your advice, like number one piece of advice be going from zero kids to one, like being a first time mother and father and or father?
I mean, sleep as much as you can. It's such a cliche, but it's because it's true.
Yeah.
If you're trying to conceive and, you know, it hasn't happened yet, have fun. Like, and it's not just about have fun with a trying part.
Right. But that too.
But I feel like trying to conceive sex and regular sex are just two different kinds of sex.
Well, because it's a job. It's a trying, job. Right?
It's like you're tracking your ovulation.
Right. So it's not the most romantic.
It is not the most romantic. But, I do think like getting away, like find like a romantic little hotel close by to you.
Yeah.
Eat some great food, sleep, spa.
But like take advantage of the sleep when you
take advantage of the sleep.
Yeah. A lot of my friends are first time moms right now and they're tired.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have kids, but it just looks exhausting, but the most rewarding thing, I'm sure.
I mean, if you want to be a mother, it absolutely is. I just never want anyone to think that like your life defining moment has anything to do with your reproductive choices.
Yeah, I love that.
It's just you can have an incredible life without kids and you can have an incredible life with kids.
Exactly.
And we should celebrate both.
Yeah, I love
that. Versus prioritizing one or the other in kind of our society.
I love that. And so you have your kids. You have all these things going on. You wear all these hats or headbands, as you said. You wear all these headbands.
I'm like Dorit from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I love this headband, by the way.
Bobble bar.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I did know they made headbands. I love that.
I'm a fan. It's a very, very comfortable headband.
It's cute. So you do all these things. And you also, and I literally, we just met in person today, but when we said hi, we like felt like we knew each other.
Of course.
So we were like, anyway, so I know we just met today, but I know you from following you that you seem like one of the most organized people I know, or I knew from Instagram, now I know in real life. And do you write HIF on the go at all anymore?
No.
Okay. Are you going, or is it kind
of? No, we're in a position of just having the site exist.
Yeah. Okay.
So that way people could always go back and reference. It's 9 years of content. I'm not just going to say.
It's amazing content. I've spent hours just going through your organizational posts, the packing ones, those. So in terms of what are the top things you do to keep everything organized? Like, I know you talk a lot about is it Silk and Saunders?
Silk and Saunders.
Look at me now. You're Silk and Saunders. So talk a little bit about how do you keep it all like organized?
I mean, I write down everything.
Everything.
I write down absolutely everything because I will forget if I do not.
Mm.
So I've actually transitioned to my Silk and Saunders notebook. It's more my self-care notebook.
Oh, okay.
And I keep it on my nightstand and I do my morning journaling in it every morning. I use the mornings and the evenings to journal in it and do some of the other exercises.
Oh, any kind of journaling or like gratitude or
they
just
have different
anything.
Sections. Okay. Oh. So that way I realized I wasn't doing them in the middle of the day when I thought if I need a little gratitude check-in, I can do this. Yeah. I wasn't. I'd like to do it in the morning
of course,
and in the evening. So I've repurposed that to be really my primary self-care morning evening routine notebook. And then I just have a blank notebook that I kind of set up for the week. I do it on a Friday where I have like 5 lines for my to-dos at the very top, 10 lines, then a line.
Right.
Then a spot for 10 things where I'm like, these are my meetings and appointments.
For the next week.
For the day.
Oh,
this is every day.
Got it.
And then there's another line. And then I keep the bottom section for just notes, ideas, things I want to scribble down. And once they're in a calendar or catalog digitally somewhere, I just cross it off. So that way.
Got it. So you do paper and digital.
You
do both.
Yes. So I swear by my iCal, I would die without it.
So that's where all your appointments, I guess, are in both places, but they're all definitely in your iCal.
They're all definitely in there. I write them in the paper notebook, so I have the satisfaction of crossing them off.
I love crossing off things. What is it with
that? So satisfying.
And a good pen. When it's a good pen. What's your favorite pen?
Baron Fig is this really incredible like stationery paper goods
company.
Love
stationery. Okay.
Like headquartered here in New York. beautiful notebooks and pens.
And they write well.
They write so well.
I'm very into Le Pen. Is that what it is?
Le Pen. I do love a Le Pen.
With all the colors. And...
I have the Le Pens for my Silken Sonder. Because I color.
So at night. You color too. So you
have
do
a little
like,
coloring page in there.
I need to check out the Silken Sonder planner.
It's a very detailed coloring page too. So it takes the whole month to properly color it in.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. So you you write everything down. You couldn't survive if it wasn't written down or you would forget. I mean, it just wouldn't happen. So what about on your phone? I think I asked you this maybe via DM or you answered one of my questions. I don't know about Evernote. You use Evernote or Notes?
Evernote.
So that's your note keeping on your phone. And that's the only one you've ever used and you swear by it?
I've dabbled. Okay. I used Google Keep for a while. I used the regular Notes app. No, I like Evernote because I just like the way I can organize all my notebooks. And I don't have very many notebooks. Like, I have one for the podcast I'm planning.
Right. Which I cannot wait. Are you going to be able to talk about that?
Yeah, we'll talk about
it. Okay, cool, cool.
I have one that is literally called Random Ass Lists.
Which
where
is
it's
just...
like books I want to read, movies I want to see, restaurants I want to try, things for upcoming family trips.
Just miscellaneous.
All the lists all the time. But then I can just hyperlink that list and put it in my Google Calendar in like the notes section. So if I'm working off of one of those lists, like if it's podcast planning time or it's I need to be on the phone to find a hotel for our family vacation or something like that.
God, have you always been so organized? No,
it's effort. It takes a lot of work.
So this didn't just come to you.
No, this is not natural at all for me.
Right.
And I have to work at it because putting in the effort to work at it and maintain it, if I don't do it, I have what I call like my implosion days where I just am completely burnt out.
Okay.
I'm on the couch like a lump on the log with like eating ice cream out of like the tub, some nonsense on the TV and like keeping up with emails, but not doing much else.
Right. Like you just, cause you just can't, it's just,
you just
can't even like make sense of it all.
And that's why I also limit like the to-do list to like maximum of five things. Cause otherwise I burn out.
Yeah. Well, and you can't do it. I mean, there are only so many hours in the day.
Yes.
So how long have you had Rowe Pharmaceuticals? How long has that been around?
End of 2016.
Okay, so what are we in? 2019.
Yeah,
three years.
Okay. Yeah.
So have you been that organized just since then? Or like when did you get your shit together, for lack of a better word?
My shit getting together is a continued work in progress.
all of us.
This current method I've stuck with in various kind of forms, but in the hybrid paper digital system that I mentioned for about 2 years. Now.
Oh, okay.
So right after Rowe
But
Pharma.
It does take effort. It's not like you can just, no. I mean.
Like I have to like set up my Fridays are the days, like I try to keep them as admin days so I can have the time to set up my notebook for the following week. I can have time to prep the newsletter.
Right. And you go into all this in detail on HIFA on the go on your site. And
there's a ton of content on there.
I dug through. It's amazing. I mean, you are so it's amazing. I'm like, God, this girl is good. So aside from the organization in terms of like your productivity and your work, packing is big. I mean, you wrote a book on how to pack. So what like are your top three tips if you could give on packing well?
Pack only the clothes that you absolutely love and that you reach for on like the days you don't feel so hot, but you want to feel hot at home. Don't like pack exclusively a brand new wardrobe.
So like don't just pack that like cool shirt you've never worn because you think you'll wear it on vacation.
Exactly. Maybe pack it, but just that's the one new fun thing you pack.
So pack what you know looks good, you know you love. Okay.
100%. Limit yourself to 3 pairs of shoes, including the ones you wear while traveling.
Even if you're away for 3 weeks?
I mean, unless you're doing like mountains to beach, at which point, by all means, pack an extra pair of sandals. Right. But
three is really what
you need.
Three
is really what you need.
Okay. So three shoes. Are those like the main two?
Those are really the main two. And don't be afraid to like rewear your clothes. And the way I just like to refresh them on the go is the Laundress makes like a great fabric refresh spray.
Oh.
It's like a really fancy Febreze.
Ah, got it.
And then steam your clothing. And you can usually maximize the wear. So plan to wear everything you pack at least twice.
Right. Okay. And you do this. Do you pack and carry on for every trip you go on?
Almost, yeah.
Even like if you're away more than a few days? I mean, always.
The only time I don't is like when it's an Indian wedding.
Oh, because you need multiple. There's like multiple occasions
and
multiple.
Huge.
Oh, and bulkier.
They're so bulky, and you need jewelry for every outfit, and it's very.
But that's really the only time that you would probably pack
in the bag.
Wow.
Like since after Rowe Turn 2, we were back in carry-ons.
Well, oh, because before you had all his, all the other stuff.
All the shit.
So what about like accessories? Do you bring a lot of jewelry when you travel? Do you bring bags? Like that's where I get stuck. Like okay. I want to bring all my bags.
I call it accessory math.
Oh, okay.
And here you, like this. Here's what it is. You have your three pairs of shoes.
Yeah.
You have two bags.
Okay.
So one big bag, one little bag. And then one pair of sunglasses, maybe two, because, you know, you want to have fun. And they're,
if and they're light. I mean, they're how light.
They don't
do
take a whole bunch of space. And then for jewelry, it depends on who you are.
Okay.
So I'm very much a do you, but invest in a really nice jewelry case so your jewelry doesn't get become a tangled up mess.
Right, because then you won't wear it.
You won't wear it. And then whatever you can fit in said jewelry case, pack as much as or as little as you want.
I love that. You make it sound so easy.
It is.
It is easy if you buy your book.
Exactly.
Does it go into detail? I don't have the book, but I need to buy it because I'm a bad packer. But do you go into detail on like exactly what to do?
100%. And it's very much like, here's the information, but tailor it to your personal style. I'm not here to tell you to only pack neutrals, or I'm not here to only say pack flat shoes because it's most practical. No.
Right.
Do you. You know yourself best.
Exactly. But you're there to kind of help. And
here's a plan.
Right.
And here's how you can take elements of the plan and tweak it to your personal style and your personal habits.
I love it. God, that's good. You're so good. You have such good like advice. You're so
smart.
Okay. So one of the main questions when I put up that Instagram last week about, does anyone have any questions for you? Like, I think three or four came in about investing. Where to start. And I know you've answered this a lot on your Q&A Fridays, but for those that haven't seen, or for whoever.
This will be one of the very first podcast episodes I will go deep into this.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Everyone here will get a preview.
Good. Here we go. So where to start if you want to invest, if you have never done it?
So, and there's two things that we talk about here. It's like just starting to invest your money in the stock market and then investing in companies.
Okay.
Because they're two very different things.
Right.
So for the stock market, first is making sure your spending, saving kind of allotment will allow for investing in the stock market.
Got it.
Don't just invest in the stock market blindly and assume you're going to make a whole bunch of money that can pay your student loan debt or whatnot. So I really recommend working with a financial coach.
Okay.
And one of my portfolio companies is called Snowball Wealth, and they're a digital financial coaching platform that is a really accessible price point, and they do incredible work. They take time to get to know your goals and help design a savings, spend, budget, everything planned for you. And then once you feel like you have the right amount of money to start putting it to work in the stock market, they'll help you make those investments.
Got it.
The Financial Gym is another resource.
You mentioned that one.
And I mentioned them. They have a space here in New York City. Where you can meet with a coach one-on-one.
Yeah.
Another really valuable, incredible offering. And they do remote coaching if you're not in New York.
Like
you can hop on the call with any of their coaches and start working with somebody. But
and they kind of like guide you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is it very expensive or?
No, I mean, we're talking anywhere from, I think, $29 to $99 a month, depending on. Yeah.
I think you're going to say like hundreds and hundreds a month.
No.
I mean, but I guess it depends how long you use them and whatever. So that's where to begin.
And then the next question people have asked is like, how much money does it take to work with a money manager? I got very lucky in that my parents, this is a funny story, actually.
Oh, good.
So when I was in high school, senior in high school, applying to colleges, I was dead set on going to Barnard.
Okay.
Like dead set.
Yeah.
I'm moving to New York City. I'm moving, going to Barnard. That's like my
life.
That
was your thing. Yeah.
Got into Barnard, preparing to fill out my paperwork. And my dad's like, oh, you got into University of Washington as well.
Oh my God.
And he had just moved to Seattle my senior year of high school. And he goes, you know, you'll technically be classified as an in-state resident at UW, and your tuition will cost me $4,000 a year versus 50
versus a lot more.
And he goes, you know, chances are too, you'll blow through your college account and then an extra 100K if you go to Barnard, which if you want to go there, that's no
problem.
He's
like, it's fine, whatever you want to do.
But, you know, the money that's in your college account will be yours after you graduate.
See, that's nice.
Papa Pelvin made me an offer I couldn't refuse. So I ended up at UW.
Nice.
Very glad I did. It was a wonderful experience.
Yeah.
And I also learned I am not cut out for West Coast life.
Okay. Just not your vibe.
I'm just not a West Coaster.
Not a West Coaster.
I am not a West Coaster. And that's okay. I love going back to
visit.
But
you're an East Coaster.
I'm such an East Coaster. So what they didn't tell me is that, yes, that money would be mine, but it would be invested under the management of their money manager.
Interesting. That's great though, right?
So, yeah. When you consider that I probably spent $5,000 a year on tuition, right, and a little bit more on expenses. There was, yeah, 1 year I lived at home.
Right.
Because I was like, why not?
Why not? Save all the money.
Exactly. I had a really healthy amount in my college savings account that was under the management of somebody else. So I got grandfathered in to their money manager.
Got it. So that's who to this day
is managing mine and Sri's money. Yeah.
Got it. Oh, that's great.
Which is great. But usually to work with,
yeah,
a financial manager, it's a minimum of about $100,000, okay, in your combined investment. So that includes your 401k, okay, your Roth IRA,
got it,
your savings account, whatnot. It's
got
kind
it
of everything that comes together as your non-real estate net worth.
Got it. And then how do you determine, like, because how many companies are you? You're an angel investor. And
we've invested in 8, and I also actively advise in exchange for a small amount of equity in another 3.
Amazing. So how do you decide which company to invest in? Like, what are you looking for?
Okay. A couple things.
Yeah.
My husband and I are industry agnostic.
Okay.
We've invested across the board, yep, from retail to media to fintech to AR, VR. Mm-hmm. And we look for really strong founders.
Okay.
Who've established product market fit, at least even at a small scale.
Yeah.
But like, we're not investing in just ever an idea. We, mm-hmm, want to see that there is some kind of tangible value.
So not with a start, or no, with a start, maybe,
startup,
but not with someone that hasn't brought it up, the, like,
exactly,
started it yet.
Okay. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Where, like, I can see a product.
Got
I can
it
feel it. It may not be shipping or available, but we can see it, feel it, know what it is.
Right. So that's number one.
That's number one. So product market fit,
okay,
has been established, and like you're past the original prototyping phase. Mm-hmm. I like founders who are very coachable.
Okay.
Because if I'm not going to feel good about my money going to someone who thinks they know it all, because so much about like your company is never going to end up exactly the way you thought it would.
Right.
And good founders are able to pivot and be nimble and, uh-huh, be resilient when things aren't working out, uh-huh, well. And a lot of that you can determine by if you give them advice early on, and if they take it, or if they don't take it, but follow up with you and explain their rationale for not doing,
yes,
so. I'm like, you're very thoughtful, and you,
right,
are listening to people, and you have judgment to decide what is best for you.
Yeah.
And that really matters a lot to,
yeah,
me.
Yeah, definitely. That makes sense.
The third is management of cash flow to date.
Okay.
I like to see how long you can stretch a dollar.
Yep.
And in the case of a lot of women investors, they've had to stretch a dollar a lot further than a lot of white male founders have,
right,
to.
Of course. Right. Right. So those are kind of your three. So if someone was looking to invest in a company or become an angel investor, how can they do that?
There's some great training programs out,
okay,
there. Like Pipeline Angels has one,
okay,
where they teach you how to do this. I'm very, like, we stumbled into this by,
yeah,
accident, and we developed our own methodology,
yeah,
of how we evaluate an opportunity given both my husband's like business education, mm-hmm, as, mm-hmm, an MBA, and just both of our own professional experiences.
Right.
And then asking our own friends who we knew that were investors a lot of questions.
Got it. Ask all the questions.
All the questions.
Yeah. So are you planning on investing, like, are you currently looking for other companies to invest in?
Not for the rest of the calendar year.
Got it. Okay.
So we made our allotments pretty early on this year.
Yeah.
I think like by the end of the first quarter.
Okay.
So I've taken on another advisor position at one company.
Got it.
And honest God, I'm maxed out.
And would you ever consider like coaching, not at companies, but like just individuals who, is that like something you would ever consider getting into, like coaching?
That sounds like so much fun. Absolutely.
Does that, right?
Like, yeah, I would love to.
I feel like you kind of do that a little bit on Instagram, like
DMing
people back and forth and everything. So aside from, okay, so you have all these companies that you invest. I don't know. I'm like, I'm exhausted thinking about like your day. Like you have a lot going on.
This is why I drink as much wine as I do.
Do you need more? By the way, I've been a terrible host. I haven't poured you more. I know you're still good, but I'm going to pour you more.
I'm still good, but okay. I'll take some more.
But you'll take some more. Okay, so aside from all of this, Roe Pharmaceuticals, I have been doing something, I think, I don't actually know how long it's been, 5 Smart Reads. This has kind of become a mini company now, but this has become a thing.
I had no idea it was going to ever be a thing. Do you know why it started?
Why? Tell, like, yes. No, I don't. Tell us.
I'm a nerd, and I want people to nerd out over these articles with me. So this was very selfish of me because I would send these to, like, my husband and my father.
Right, right.
And I get no response. And unless it was healthcare related, like, my dad would, and I would talk about it.
Right, right.
my husband's like so busy during the day that he's like,
he's not responding.
I appreciate this, but no. Or he'll like slack some of the articles that were relevant to his work to like his colleagues.
Yeah, totally.
And then they would email me. And,
oh, that's nice.
Which is nice. But I was like, I want people to nerd over this with me.
Is that really why you started it?
Like, yes. And I think also I was so sick of the big stories were not determined by what I think is objectively important, but mm-hmm. by what will make media companies money.
Of course.
And oftentimes that isn't what is important about what is happening in the world. Mm-hmm. It's not about the stories that I think deserve to be told. So for me, it was just my way of amplifying good journalism or the journalism I want to read more of.
I love it. I mean, I look at you every morning and sometimes I, like, I won't have time to read them right then, but then you always send your email, which everyone can sign up for on Saturdays. Is it Saturdays?
Saturdays or Sundays.
But not every week. Or is it every week?
I'm trying to get back to
We're
every
trying.
Week.
You just had a kid. Like, just had give a kid. Break. No.
It's less than 3 months old.
Right. Like, come on. But I mean, I feel like it's the news I need to know about. Like, it's things I need to know about, like you put in my hand. You make it very easy.
Thank you.
But also, it's very overwhelming. Like, I am not one to just, I'm not like you where I read through, you know, I assume, do you read a ton of websites every morning?
And I do. It's like my morning. I pump in the morning and I'm like scrolling through all my things.
And like, and I don't do that, but I also get really overwhelmed. I mean, there's a lot out there. And so you kind of just make it very like easy to digest. Like, it's just great. I wish you did like 20 smart reads a day. You're like, okay.
I like capping it at five because I think that disciplines me to make sure what I'm sharing is really what is important.
Yes, exactly. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. And are you planning on doing more with Five Smart Reads? Like, I know you have your newsletter and I saw some products. And
yes.
You brought me a really cool a little roadie where I could put my wine in. What are we going to call it? Like a roadie?
A wine roadie. The adult sippy cup.
Adult sippy cup.
You know, I just like having some merch made just for myself. Again, I'm very selfish.
I love it.
I'm an only child.
Yeah,
but
whatever.
But also, if people like it, like, I'll sell it.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a...
I'll probably give it away at first because I'm just grateful that people like my
Well, you also have
thing.
A Facebook group where you
I
share
do,
everything.
Yes.
So people can go back and read older articles and everything.
Yes, and we're working on a Five Smart Reads website where I'm going to be able to put all the links that have been shared to date and like categorized so you can find healthcare, you could find awesome interviews or things of that nature. And we'll also find a way to archive a lot of the Q&As that we've done to date
and
allow people to also like comment and offer their own responses.
Are you currently, like, this is currently happening?
I just talked to my designer and developer for Hitha on the Go to talk about the archiving of the blog and the build out of this.
This is fun information.
Yes.
So
you're the first to hear about it.
Oh, guys.
Sorry for putting you on blast, Victoria.
Is it Victoria McGinley?
Yes.
So I just bought one of their Empress themes. Raina. Oh my God. I literally didn't mind.
By the way, that was
going to
be our girl name.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
I love that. So R is your.
Yes.
R's are your name.
I mean, we're obviously not Jewish, but something I love about like the Jewish culture is honoring a recently passed relative with your children's names. So I had lost two uncles whose name began with R.
Oh.
One a few years before Ro was born, and another one like a couple months before Ro was born.
Oh.
And the one who passed right before Ro was born was one of my dad's like closest siblings.
Yeah.
He has eight, so.
Wow. And you were close with him?
I was close with him. I loved him. He was just one of the kindest men ever. So we decided to do that. And then apparently we have a lot of Southern friends because we got a lot of monogram stuff when Ro was born.
Oh, well, that works though, right?
So then I was just like, oh, let's just keep this.
Yes.
And Rocky we picked because my husband was deep into a Rocky binge when I was pregnant.
That is so funny.
And he was so active inside me, like constantly kicking and punching that I was like slow your roll, Rocky Balboa.
Is that real? That's how
the
name?
And the tree was like, oh my God, I love that as a name. And I'm like, what Indian name can we assign to this?
Oh my God, I love that. That's so cool. That's how the name came to be.
Yeah.
Rocky Balboa.
You could take the girl out of Philly, but right. Can't take the Philly out of the girl.
But no, so Raina was going to be the girl?
Raina was going to be a girl's name, and we're going to call her Rey because I love Rey from Star Wars because I am.
Yes. But I totally geeked out on that. I did it all myself. I bought the theme and I kept buying the plugins. They are amazing what they have going on over there.
The bio that they have, I finally bought it and set
it up. I need to buy it. That's like the one I didn't buy yet.
It's so good.
Because I have my podcast, the blog, the whole thing. So I bought the Empress theme and I've been going back and forth mostly with Lisa. Does she work with Lisa?
Yes.
Lisa. And I, because I've had like a million questions, she has been so, they are incredible. So Victoria designed your site and is designed. So you didn't buy it. Like
she's designing.
Site.
So she's taking a lot of the elements and the design elements from Myth on the Go. So it looks and feels very much the same.
They are so talented.
They're so talented. And they're two of just like the kindest, best they people I know.
Like, and I get upset when Victoria doesn't update her blog because I love her writing.
Right?
I check like every day.
I mean, I do too.
You know, for a while I was in such a habit. So I have like this blog roll. Is that what they still call it? Where every morning I check the same
we're 10 blogs.
We're
such like digital oldies.
Oh my God. Do people not call it a blog?
I don't think they do.
Or how old are you?
I'm 35.
Okay, I'm 33. So we're like the same.
Yeah, we're like older millennials.
Yeah, exactly. And it's weird that I'm a millennial. I don't know if I like.
I don't like being called a millennial.
I'm like, am I really?
Can I not?
But I go through, but I still, to this day, it's like ingrained in my head. And I'll just, and some of them, the blogs don't even exist anymore or whatever. But for so long, I still went to your site. It's just not updating anymore.
It's okay. But like now, like Hith on the Go will just redirect to 5 Smart Reads. And
got it,
that
got
will
it.
Be,
that's amazing.
That'll be updated regularly. And then yeah. Hith on the Go will just be moved to hithonthego.com/blog.
Oh, easy. Okay, perfect.
And now that I've said this on this podcast,
now
like,
you
I
have to
do it.
We're
going
to hold you accountable. So what would you say? Okay, it's a two-part question. What are your favorite websites to go to every day in terms of your news? Like where you get your 5 Smart Reads?
Yeah. So Axios.
Okay.
I just think for people who have kind of outgrown the skim and want something of a little bit more substance, I think Axios is like the mature big sister or brother of the or the cool aunt or uncle.
Yeah, I did the skim in my 20s, late 20s.
It was... I've always been a news nerd, so I was like, I appreciate this is out there for people who don't have a news consumption habit, but like my husband and I were getting 3 newspapers a day, like delivered to our door, because we be nerdy.
We be nerdy. It's a hashtag.
We be nerdy. But so Axios is great. Okay. And I use that to kind of take a look at, okay, what's going on in the world? Mm-hmm. And they always link to more in-depth articles in their own news summaries.
On other sites.
On other sites. So they're linking to the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, AP, Reuters. Though that's a big one. Mm-hmm. And so I always read the Mike Allen sort of AM update, his 6 things, and Vitals, which is the healthcare one, and Futures, which I subscribe to by accident, but now I'm really into because it's just about the future of technology, future of everything. And there's some really fascinating pieces that they do on there. I also read Brian Stetler's Reliable Sources newsletter, which is a very media one.
Okay.
But because my husband's consulting firm that he works at works with a lot of media clients, he reads it too, and then we nerd out over it.
I love it. You guys are cute.
We're so... We just are poor kids. I like Fortune. They have a great couple great newsletters that I love. The Broadsheet, which is like women in business.
Okay.
And then Brainstorm Health, which is obviously healthcare.
Healthcare, yeah.
Stat News is another phenomenal healthcare website that they've poached a lot of my favorite healthcare journalists from other publications. Huh. So I just followed them to Stat.
Cool, yeah.
And finally started subscribing to Stat.
Got it.
I love The Cut. That's like my brain candy. That's like the dessert to all of my like vegetables.
And I love that dessert to all my vegetables. I don't read it like, I read it when you post it and then I like start playing around on it. But they have great articles.
Articles.
Okay, so that's a big one.
So the How I Get It Done series is one of my favorites. And what else do I read?
Those are the biggies.
The Lily from Washington Post, which is another like women's focused editorial site. Yeah. That's fantastic.
Okay, great.
Love. I've started reading Shondaland and going to Hello Sunshine more and more often because there is a ton of great content on there that I don't feel like is getting amplified enough. And then Glamour is killing
it. They are. Well, I think I know that because of you sharing it. But yes.
Yes. I'm very impressed. Like I had a lot of concerns when they shuttered the physical magazine and went digital only. Yeah. But they've done a smart job with telling really vitally important stories that I don't think are necessarily be written anywhere else.
Amazing. That is a lot. Okay. I'm going to, I have to, a lot of notes to put
and
in the notes.
Vanity Fair.
Vanity Fair. Yes. Yes. And now the second part would be, or I guess, do you have any blogs you read every day? Like you go to every morning or is that more of a weekend thing? Okay.
No,
so what
I do
are
have
those?
A few. And that's my when Rose off to school and I have a cup of coffee and Rocky is snuggling on me is my blog reading time. It's again, that's like more of my candy.
Yep. Yep.
I read Grace Atwood's blog, The Stripe.
That one is definitely on my blog roll every day.
She's like responsible for half of the beauty products in my cabinet.
No, absolutely. I mean, she puts out incredible content.
She does. And I'm so proud. I've known her for almost a decade.
I wonder if I
known her for a while.
Maybe I learned of her through you or you through her or something. You guys have been friends for a while.
We've been friends for a while. And I'm just really impressed at the high quality of her content. And the value that comes from every single post.
And she keeps it real. Like, so real.
So real. And with, it's very much what you see is what you get. Like, Blog Grace is still Grace Grace.
See, I love that. That's
I think Grace Grace is even cooler. So
she's really cool. I met her on my podcast. Okay, so the stripe.
So the stripe, the fashion magpie.
Okay, yeah.
My friend Jen writes it. She's a phenomenal writer. Amazing. So if you miss Victoria's like writing and like
the prose. Oh, should I go to the fashion magpie?
You should totally.
Oh, good to know.
And she has phenomenal taste.
Okay,
so everything she recommends, I also buy. And I'm like.
So you're going to be in debt actually because of the.
Because of those two. Because of those two.
Yeah.
But it's okay because
it's worth it. It's
my
fine.
My closet is looks amazing right now.
So are those your main two? Like, would you?
Those are my main two, and I think that's it these days.
Yeah. Well, it's hard because a lot of people don't update every day, and I can always count on Grace. And maybe the Fashion Magpie does that too.
Every day.
I can always count on Grace even through Saturday. Like on Saturdays, there's always something on our site. So sometimes I might not read it right then, but like it's just nice to know there's something there every day.
100%.
You know? I mean that. So what do you feel about blogging in general right now in that space? I know you don't necessarily quote blog anymore. I mean, you don't. So what, it's such a saturated industry. We all know that. Do you think someone can still make it as a blogger if they started today?
They have a really strong point of view.
Okay.
They get into it for the right reasons, mm-hmm. which is to share information that they're passionate about, not necessarily to make a buck, mm-hmm. but to treat it like a business from day one, mm-hmm. and treat your time seriously, treat your readers' time seriously, right. and invest in quality content. Mm-hmm. So whether that's beautiful photography right. or finding beautiful images mm-hmm. on the internet to accompany your posts.
Yep.
Taking the time to respond to comments, mm-hmm. to really build a community.
Engage,
I think the whole point of this is people don't want to feel like they're alone
right.
in this very solitary action of scrolling.
Yep.
So if you can make them feel like they belong to something or they belong in this conversation
right.
that you are looking to start, that is the best value you can provide.
And you could still, but don't go into it that you're trying to, don't go into it with the idea that you want to make money.
No.
There's, because you might not.
But you might not. But you might. You might not.
But right, right.
But I would actually, like I've heard Lauren Everts talk about.
Yes, I love her.
Love her.
Who doesn't love her?
I read her blog. I don't necessarily,
I do.
Yeah. She's a regular.
Yeah.
I check it every day. And again, it's not that I read every article at that time,
yep.
but I'm very much.
She's amazing.
She's amazing. She writes about like validate what your blog idea mm-hmm. is on microblogging on IG or starting
that.
A newsletter. And I fully, fully agree with that.
Yes, 100%. Well, also like there's been so much, not so much talk. I mean, it is what it is. You only own your blog and your email list. Instagram could go away tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going away tomorrow.
Which but is like, why the email list for Five Smart mm-hmm. Reads is so important.
Yes.
Why I continue to invest in that. Because if Instagram goes away all
you'll
of a sudden.
You'll still be able to share.
I still have a way to communicate with
exactly.
everybody.
And I think people sometimes lose sight of that, especially when Instagram goes down for a day, like it did recently. It's kind of a wake-up call. Like,
it is.
It's like, oh, shit. Like people, like, you know, quote, influencers that only count on Instagram for their income. I mean, they're kind of screwed if that happens, right?
I just don't think it's ever smart on investing that much time and energy mm-hmm. on monetizing something
yep.
on a property you don't even own.
You don't own. Exactly. So what do you think about Instagram in general? I mean, you're obviously you're a fan. You post on it. I post on it. Recently, I actually took an Instagram hiatus for a week. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done a detox?
Accidentally.
Oh, what do you mean?
Like, I don't mean to, and then
oh,
it just,
you just
go
ends up
really
not being on every day. Right.
That's fine.
So I like on purpose did it, and then when I came back on, I realized like I was spending way too much time on it. Do you spend all day every? No, you can't. I mean, you have
I
so much going on.
I haven't created the discipline to stick with Instagram only times in my calendar.
Do you have that in your calendar?
No, I tried. I failed.
Oh, okay.
It has not worked for me.
It hasn't
It might work for you.
Maybe I'll try that, actually.
But, it hasn't worked for me, but I am really mindful about, okay, I'm on Instagram to post Five Smart Reads. Then let me at least get through the top two things on my to-do list before I let myself go back on Instagram again.
Okay, I like that.
So I kind of treat it that way.
I like that.
Instagram is my reward.
Right.
Because it is fun for me to like have conversations over DM and see what other people
right.
are sharing.
It's
I
a fun
enjoy
way
it.
To engage. It is. But I felt like I was it's like I almost got to a place where I needed a break because I kept, you know, like not comparing myself, but it is hard to not compare. Like, oh, I started my podcast before yours, but yours has it's like I needed just a break from like looking. And now when I came back on, I'm like much more mindful about who I follow, what I follow. And that's been definitely interesting.
I muted a lot of accounts.
Me too.
A lot of accounts. And it really is who brings me joy.
Who brings you joy?
Like you got to condo your IG.
I was just gonna say that. But it's true. Like, if you are actually making me feel shitty about myself, but I don't want to offend you by unfollowing, I will mute you. And it's not because you're a bad person, but it doesn't like work with me, right?
100%.
Yeah, it's tough. So what do you feel about social media and your? And I'm so sad we have to wrap up sort of soon because I feel like I have so many questions for you. So I'm just gonna keep going right now. But what do you feel about social media and your kids? I know they're too young to like even process that, but. What do you know where you'll stand on it?
So at first I was very much like, no, never, da, 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 da. And then I kind of have evolved that stance, obviously, because you see my kids in my feed and stories where it is actually, I think, going to be important for kids to have some kind of minimal but a digital presence. Mm-hmm. So I try to make sure everything I post is something that they will not be embarrassed by when they're teenagers.
I like that mentality. Okay, I like that thought process.
And that it's respectful to them. Mm-hmm. I try not to share too much information about them.
Right.
Where it's really more about my experiences as a mother.
Yep.
Because I do think that does offer a lot of value. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you feel really alone and really isolated.
I mean, my friends, like I have friends that a lot of my friends just had babies and they like look to Instagram to connect with even people they've never met. But I'm sure you have people from all over messaging you.
I think it's important. I think it's important to show. It's like, here's me like in like a robe and pajama pants with like my hair up and no makeup and looking like exhausted because this is what motherhood actually looks like, not what professional influencers are portraying because it's their business. And of course,
and they have to do that and that's more power to them, but it's nice to see the real. Like refreshing.
I did feel a little bit of a responsibility to do it because I didn't see anybody else doing it.
I love that you're like, this is what I'm doing right now. Like, I mean, and you're tired and you're this and I love that you show that. I love when people show that. It's like, it's refreshing. I mean, that's literally why I started the podcast because I'm like, let's just have some unfiltered conversations, which I know people do, but you can never have too many of those.
And not really for public consumption. It's always like behind closed doors or a very private thing.
Exactly.
And some of them need to be, but we should be breaking down that fourth wall.
100% agree. And speaking of podcasts, you're starting. So tell us about this podcast because I just learned of this.
Okay. So it's going to be called One Smart Thing.
Ooh.
I don't know. I guess like now that I said it, it's going to have to be called
Guys, unless she has me cut this part, but I'm not going to cut it. No,
you don't have to cut it. And it's going to be an extension of what I'm sharing on Instagram. So it's going to start with two weekly episodes.
Okay.
One is going to be about an article that I'm like, okay, this might have gotten the most clicks on like a week, but I think it's really important. And here's my take on why, and provide a little bit more context if it's like a very newsy or policy heavy article or, you know, on real things that we should be talking about, like race gender and all these things, inequality. The other is going to be expanding on a question that I get a lot from the weekly Q&A. So that way people can get like a lengthier, more satisfying answer. And I could just direct people to a specific episode. So
twice a week you'll be doing this.
Twice a week I'll be doing it.
Will they be short episodes?
Short, 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, I kind of love that actually. Yeah. But, I mean, I love long ones. I mean, I love longer ones too, but I love the idea that you're doing quick,
kind of
like,
want to get
bits.
like the subway to wherever you need to go kind of. Time.
When is this launching?
September.
Oh, this is like, do you already, like, this is happening?
Yeah, I have like episodes planned, some recorded, all of this.
Oh, this is really exciting. So we'll like be able really to happening. Access this through your site that's being 100%. Redone. This is really exciting. Is
Thank
this
you.
Like exclusive content right now?
Yeah, I mean, haven't like, I've I, said you there's a podcast, but this is the first time I'm talking
They're gonna
about
be
it.
So excited.
Thank you.
Oh my God. Before we fully wrap up, we still have time. I have to do my favorite part of my episode. I mean, it's all my favorite, but my rapid fire round, which is all really fun questions.
Love.
First thing that comes to mind, just say it. I mean, you literally just say it. It's on hashtag no filter. We kind of just have to go with it. Okay. First, if you could have drinks with anyone or no, you're a drink girl. If you could have drinks with anyone living or dead, who would it be?
Indira Gandhi. Gray streak is inspired by her.
Okay. That was good. It's first thing that comes to mind. I love it. Yep. Okay. If someone played you in a movie, who would it be?
I mean, I want to say Mindy Kaling. Is that too obvious?
No, I love her.
I love her.
She can play you. Do you
I hope
know,
so.
What would the movie either be called or what would be the premise? Would it be your life story? What would it be?
I don't know, but I think like a comedy in the pharma industry could actually be kind of hilarious.
That could be amazing. Okay. I'm into this.
Mindy, if you want to work on it together,
Mindy, if you're listening. if there was an airplane right outside the building, where would you have it take you right now?
Napa.
Yes. Have you been there? Do you go there a lot?
Or? No, I've been there once. Me too. And I want to just go back all the time.
Like, can't we just do that trip again?
Napa or Palm Springs?
Ooh, Palm Springs. I don't really, like, I'm not super familiar with Palm Springs, but again, Napa was my jam.
I want to go back.
But Napa, I mean, I could, like, when I was there, I was like, I could live here. I'm like, no, I couldn't live here. But I could, I mean, that is a vacation. That is.
Napa is a place I would, like, you are a place I'd, like, want to be in a long-term relationship with.
Yes. And I've only been once.
Yeah.
It's like my engagement trip. Okay. And if you could only bring three things, people are already there, animals are already there, whatever you want, but things, what would they be?
My Kindle.
Okay. Yeah.
A small water bottle.
Ooh, okay.
Because got to stay hydrated and have a place to store your dehydration poison of choice.
Yes.
And lip balm.
Ooh, which lip balm's your favorite?
Really like the Honest Beauty Magic Balm and glossiesbalm.com. I know that's so basic, but
is
I love it.
I don't even think I've used it, but I guess I have to now.
It's like Aquaphor in prettier packaging.
Oh, wait, what is it called?
Glossiesbalm.com.
Oh, glossiesbalm.com. Okay, got it. But your products, all speaking of your products, tangent, the sunglasses, that was it you that linked to them?
Yeah.
Or great. You, Grace mentioned you that had linked to them or something. Oh my God.
They're so
$11.
Good. I own them in three colors.
But they look like I don't understand.
I mean, I don't love how much knockoff stuff I've gotten off Amazon.
I don't mind them for some reason.
My sunglasses are going to get ruined. My kids are going to destroy them.
Yes.
I have my mommy bags need to be cheap, wipeable bags. Yes. I'm not going to actually buy a Goyard for parting around my kids' diapers.
Well, and I agree. I don't like the complete knockoff, but at least there's not like a logo. Like I wouldn't buy it if there's a logo.
I would never buy a logo.
But they're amazing and they come in like 12 colors.
I know.
I mean, they're so do you have them linked anywhere?
Yeah.
Do you have them linked somewhere?
I don't know, but just go click on Grace's. It's cool.
Oh, yeah. Grace has. And one of her. Anyway, they're amazing. These glasses. I order them. I order them right away. And there was something else, though, that you mentioned that you love.
The nightgown.
The nightgown.
Or the caftan. Call it whatever you will. I own it in like eight colors and I wear them. Like I just got these linen overalls.
I love these.
These are Amazon as well.
Are they a brand or just like whatever the.
I mean, just Google linen overalls. No, the cut link to them.
Oh,
the Cutly. Nice. I've discovered them from the Cut.
Okay. I love them.
They're so comfy.
They look so comfortable. Like, so comfortable. Three things. Oh, we talked about that already. Okay. Favorite New York City restaurant? Besides Taco Bell.
Right now. It's Bar Bar.
Okay. Okay. Has it been for a while? Like, has that been?
No, I went for dinner there, I want to say a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And it's just become like.
Did you go recently on a date night? Was that where you. Is it weird that I completely stalk you and saw your
Insta stories? No, we went to Pizzeria Serenetta.
Oh, okay.
That's the place with the peppercini martini.
Got it. Okay.
Which is also delicious. But like we're at Pizzeria Serenetta like every week because it's right in our hood. They're amazing with families.
But you love it. Right.
It's in, out. It's easy.
Easy. Okay. So Bar Bar is your favorite.
Bar Bar.
Okay.
Because it requires effort to get to the East Village.
Yes, it does. Okay. If we talk about plan outside, things you can. Okay. If there's a motto or not if. What motto or quote do you try to live by every single day? Or a mantra or something?
Survive.
I like it.
Just survive.
Just survive. You don't even have to thrive. Just survive.
Survive.
Survive. Okay, I like it. Celebrity crush.
This has changed.
Oh, okay. Tell us.
So it used to be Henry Cavill until he was cast as Superman. And I'm like, this was a terrible casting choice or the script was just awful because Henry Cavill can actually act.
Right.
So this is deeply upsetting to me, obviously.
She's bothered by this.
I am very bothered by it. Then it was Tom Hiddleston until Taylor Swift happened.
Okay.
And then I'm like, God damn it, T-Swift. Like,
all your celeb crushes are just getting messed up. So who is it now?
You know what? It's the guy who played Robb Stark from Game of Thrones, because I watched Bodyguard and he was phenomenal in that. Richie Madden.
Wait, is Bodyguard the one from the London show?
Yeah, the London show.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
No one's ever answered it with him, and now that might be my celebrity. I feel like he
gets overlooked by Jon Snow, by Kit Harington all the time.
Oh,
Kit, don't get me wrong. You have gorgeous hair, and I adore you, but
yes.
Richie Madden's got a little bit more crisp.
I love. Okay, what about your girl crush, celebrity girl crush? Mindy Kaling?
It's the trifecta of Mindy Kaling, Oprah Winfrey, and Reese Witherspoon.
Well, how can
like, how do I get into that
right,
girl
like,
crush?
Have you met any of them? Like,
no.
Do they follow you on Instagram?
I wish.
That is a good trifecta. How do we get into it?
I don't know.
Do you think if we
that's the same one of like, I want to get into the Jennifer Lawrence, Amy Schumer, and yes. Adele one.
Yeah, how do we, that one I would take too. I would do actually either.
Any of them.
What's so funny though is with Instagram, like you actually can DM these people. They're not going to see it, but at some point, like I haven't actually DM'd them, but if I tag them in something, I'm like, there's a chance they could see my post, but they don't. I mean, they're a little busy, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
What advice would you give to your younger self in a sentence or two?
Stop spending your money on going out tops. Okay, please don't snort.
I was literally about to choke because I thought she was just gonna say stop spending your money like in a like.
No, I'm like,
I didn't know what was coming.
And going out tops represent just the stupid shit you're not gonna use after like three times.
Did you invest in them though, or they're like Forever 21?
No, I bought like some really expensive ones that I'm because I worked at a boutique in college. I got a discount, but like they I should have just gone like, Forever 21.
Yeah, probably.
So I'm like pissed at myself.
Do you still
when
have
I think
the tops?
Or no.
You like, okay.
Of course. No, you know what happened? No, after I moved back to Philly, my teenage cousin stole them all from me. Homegirl used to klepto my designer bags and everything.
That's so
funny.
I
just was so glad she never fit in my shoes.
That's funny.
So yeah.
So don't spend the money on the going out top. So if you're growing up right now, don't spend your money on
going out tops.
But you want the or go to Forever 21.
Just go to Forever 21.
Yeah.
Buy a couple. Or buy a few basic black tanks.
Uh-huh.
Buy some of the fun jewelry at Forever 21 because less people are going to shop there than they are in the top aisle.
True. It's a good point. You're very smart. That's very smart.
I'm trying to think.
What advice in a sentence or two would you give to your children when they can understand advice that you would give?
Feel your feelings. Mm. I think we, as adults and then also in our children, try to get them to chase the happy and the good feelings without giving ourselves time and space to process the not so good feelings,
right.
Which are just as important.
Mm-hmm.
So
sometimes more important
because
they make you realize things.
So as a mother, I try to create a safe space and I never am like, oh, just be happy.
Right.
I try never to say that. I try to just say,
like, let
you
it, like,
I ask them, how do you feel right now? And I let them identify their, like,
and
row identify.
Respond saying,
he's like, I'm sad, I'm mad, I'm frustrated.
And does he let it out? Like, then he.
Yeah, I just go, it's okay. So tell me why you feel that way. Oh. And then, yeah, it allows him to just have the space to process that. And their kids are going to learn how to read and write and math and ride a bike and all that stuff.
Right.
But teaching my kids resilience and giving them a place to be emotionally free is something only we can do as parents that they're not going to get from anybody else or anywhere else. So if I can do that for them at home.
Oh, I love that.
That's what I really care most about.
Because it's important like that. Because when you push it under the rug, like the bad feelings, they're just going to come back 10 times
and it goes
worse,
back,
right?
Yeah, 100%. And it also is the thing about like, why do we raise our boys different than we raise our girls? Mm-hmm. And Gloria Steinem actually said that. It's like things aren't going to change until we start raising our sons more like our daughters versus always being focused on raising our daughters more like our sons.
Right. And speaking of, you just reminded me because I wanted to touch on this before we end. We talked before about it. So you had Ro and then you wanted a girl.
I did.
And you had another boy. And
I did.
You found out you're having a boy and you were upset. I have a lot of friends that have a boy and then they find out they're having another boy and they like cry. I mean, they're really upset. How, you did the same?
I did the same. I cried.
Yeah.
So be sad. By the way, just like I said before.
Yeah, be sad.
Be sad.
It.
Because you're mourning a fantasy of motherhood that you had just expected to manifest into reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have been for a month. It might have been for years.
Mm-hmm. Forever.
You forever. Could, from since you were a little kid.
And you wanted
imagining
a little,
that you would have a daughter one day. Give yourself space and time to mourn. Like, it's okay to feel sad about it.
Because it doesn't mean you're not excited for your, right? Like, you were still excited.
I was still excited.
You obviously, everyone wants a healthy baby, but you, of course you were.
I was
like,
mourning this fantasy of what me and a daughter, having a daughter would be like. But then I realized, like, I'm so thrilled that, you know, my boys are boisterous and energetic and feisty, but also very sweet.
Right.
And love cuddles. And
I mean, what's better than two? But like, I'm probably just biased, but
I'm lucky that I have two healthy kids. Like that isn't even like a given in this day and age. I'm lucky that I am alive and survived childbirth that's no longer even a given
no,
of birth in
not.
This country, particularly if you're black.
Right.
So,
no, You have two healthy, amazing boys, not going, I mean, you know, and that's what matters, but it's hard, I would imagine, when you're in it
totally.
And you're leaving that doctor's office and you're like, God damn it.
Well, you get the call.
Oh, is it a call?
I got a call.
Were you just like, are you sure? Like, is,
no,
are you
I just was like, okay.
Oh,
she's like, I'm sorry.
My
and
friend,
I said,
like,
I said, it's not like you had anything to do with it. I go, I'm pissed at my husband because it's all his fault.
Is it true that like sperm?
Yeah.
So
eggs only have an X chromosome.
Okay.
Sperm either are an X chromosome or a Y chromosome. So
okay,
the sperm determines the gender. So Henry VIII should have just been pissed at himself that he never had a son.
Yeah. Wait, but then how? But there's no way you can control what's, I mean.
No. I mean, like, there's like old wives' tales
about
sex positions or like food or whatever
but
to promote.
There's really, unless you're doing, you know, something where you can, something
IUI
if they take your,
or in vitro. Right. Like, so in IUI, you can actually, like, if you provide the sperm sample, they can, because there's different pHs and different, like, biochemical properties of X sperm versus Y sperm.
You can
separate it and only be injected with a single gender.
Part of me thinks what you're meant to have, you're meant to have. Right?
I feel that way too.
I mean, I'm sure, look, if you're doing that, great, but I do think, like,
I was meant to be a mom of boys. Mm-hmm. If something should change and I want a third kid and I'm lucky enough to that kid to be healthy and happy, at this point, I don't even care if it's a boy or a girl.
You don't care,
I really don't care.
You don't.
Now.
Isn't that interesting? But you did care. Like,
I did care for the second.
And I feel like like I was saying before, I mean, I don't have kids. I don't know. But like, I have two nephews. They're so cute together. And like, you don't have to deal with like girl puberty shit. Like when they're like bitching and moaning. I was like that.
My cousins who all had like two sons versus two daughters, when those sons are like off to like college or working, are a lot happier than the daughters are.
Yep.
The ones who have daughters still look like they're in it.
I mean, daughters are tough.
I was exhausting.
Are you
kidding
me?
My parents are like,
my
tired.
God, I dated these bad guys. And oh my God, it was awful. But you even said also, like, you felt, I don't know if you said you felt, but either way, like, you, like, Ro can play with unicorns. And
Ro loves unicorns.
Right. And you were saying something else, like unicorns and
rainbows.
He
was like dead set on getting a rainbow raincoat and a rainbow unicorn watch. And so I like track.
Did
I,
you
what,
find you
what know, I made him earn it? So I was
what
like,
"What did you do to earn it?"
One thing was no poop accidents for like a week.
Oh, so now is he potty trained?
Well, he's day trained. He's night. We're
at
still
night,
working
you have
on
to, right.
Still pull ups, but okay.
Okay, whatever.
This shit will.
Yeah,
this will happen. He's adjusted to everything else in his life.
It's fine.
So
right.
Fast, like out of a crib, out of bottles.
It's amazing.
Everything is super fast. So of course, this
Let
is
it
the
be.
One
right.
thing that I. We are going to take our time with, and it's fine.
And that's okay.
So I had to like stalk the internet for a rainbow unicorn watch. It just wasn't pink.
I feel like that would be easy though to find.
I found a blue one from Timex, and he loves it.
Oh, but he
never
pink.
No, he didn't. Like, I just was like, okay, he's a boy. Like,
right.
A pink watch, I would have bought it at the end of the day.
Oh, okay.
But
I see.
Was like,
but
if
you're
I can find rainbows and unicorns, are just always
right. So did you find it?
I did find it.
Did he earn it?
He earned it.
Oh.
And then I also wanted a rainbow rain jacket. So none of the stores like Bowdoin or Gap or H&M had one that wasn't like predominantly pink.
Right.
Like, they were just predominantly pink with little rainbows on it. And I just
wanted
rainbow stripes. Yeah. So of course on Amazon.
Obviously.
I find this. I actually want it in an adult size because it's like.
Yeah, it sounds really cute.
It's just like rainbow stripes with some silver stars on it.
Oh.
It's so cute. And I
Does
got that for
it?
Him. He loves it. And he rocks it with his Spider-Man umbrella.
Good for him. I love it. That's awesome. Oh, he's so cute. They're both so cute. I mean, Kerminza stories. I haven't met them, but they're so cute.
They're awesome. They're awesome.
They
kids.
Seem awesome.
I'm
You're
so
lucky. Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, before we wrap up, because now I guess we have to wrap up. I really don't want you to leave though.
I don't
want to
leave
out again.
Either. Yes.
But, okay, just like drinks, not with the podcast. Like, we can do the podcast again. Okay,
you guys want us to do the podcast?
We
we'll
could do
it.
A part two. Where can everyone find you? Everywhere. Tell them all the things.
So stick with Instagram for now.
Okay.
It's at Hithapalapus. So HithaPalepu.
I actually, it was funny because I knew it was Hitha, and I was thinking, I'm like, I think I know how to pronounce her last name, and I thought it was Palapu.
Yeah.
I'm like, pat myself on the back because sometimes I fuck
well
up names.
Oh, so I spoke at my college graduation.
Yeah.
I was one of three students to speak, but of course my name is the one that gets botched.
What do they say? Like, how did it?
Haithu Pulapu.
But that's not, it's obviously not Haitha. Like.
Haithu.
Oh, Haithu.
There's like no U in my first name.
It's like clearly Hitha.
Hitha.
That's, yeah.
Like
okay.
Hit the ball. Hitha. Yeah.
It's fine. It's like when you go to Starbucks, I'm like, what's your name? Julie. And it's like July or, you know,
Oh, no, my
Jules.
Starbucks name is Heather.
Oh, you just tell them that?
Yeah.
Oh. Just easier.
Mama needs her caffeine, yeah, and she doesn't need any drama to get
right,
some
just
caffeine.
Just give me my caffeine, right. Okay, so just Instagram is the place
Instagram
right now.
Instagram is the place right now.
But your website, they should
eventually
check.
Smart Reads will
be
exist.
There. Right, but doesn't Instagram now. Is where it's at, and she does a Q&A every Friday?
Every Friday.
Every Friday. So any of your questions, send them in. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I feel like we covered a lot, but I feel like I could still go, which is the problem, because it can't be a two-hour episode. No, but thank you so much. And my Instagram, as always, is at JulieLauren14. And yeah, I'll be back very soon. Bye.
Hey, America, Christopher Hahn here, the Aggressive Progressive Podcast. What is with the president and the right-wing echo chamber encouraging these AstroTurf protests against stay-at-home orders around the country? It's ridiculous, and it needs to stop. Check out the Aggressive Progressive Podcast wherever you download podcasts.
I'm Royal Oaks. Next time on Too Many Lawyers, COVID continues to reshape the law. Supreme Court arguments will be held by teleconference. The justices won't even know if the lawyers are wearing pants, which is fair given the eternal mystery of what's under those black robes. Los Angeles County is springing 25% of its inmates. The sheriff suggests folks get ready for what might be a spike in crime. Check it all out on the next episode of Too Many Lawyers.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. In fact, Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/podcastfree. All lowercase, shopify.com/podcastfree, shopify.com/podcastfree.